All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Tes. We are picking up from Lamed Ches Amud Beis, 38b, three lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Seth and Rachel Rotenberg on the occasion of the birth of their grandson, Baruch Hashem, yesterday in Eretz Yisrael. No, sorry, Tinek. Close. If you can't be in Eretz Yisrael, it's like, right? Baruch Hashem. Thank you for the sponsorship. So we'll say, we continue today in the beautiful world of tzitzis. So three lines up from the bottom, Lamed Ches Amud Beis 38b. Amar Rav Shmamina, learned from the previous sugya that we ended with yesterday, Tzarech Likshar Akol Chulyo V'Chulyo, that you have to tie a knot after. Chulyo literally means like every link of the braid. We're going to discuss that when making tzitzis. So there are knots, there are loops, and together those ultimately form the braids. So you see from here that you're obligated to go ahead and tie a knot after every braid of the tzitzis. Because if you would think you don't have to, Hada Amri B'nei Rabbi Chia Gardumi Tcheles Ksherin, V'Gardumi Ezok Ksherin. But also that which we said in yesterday's daf, B'nei Rabbi Chia, who said Gardumi Tcheles. Remember we spoke about this yesterday, the stumps of Tcheles. So we spoke about this, talking about a case where the string rips, there's only a little bit of string left. So the shaila is, how much string has to be left in order for the tzitzis to still be kosher? So when we said yesterday that the stumps of Tcheles, or the stumps of Ezov, which is the hyssop that's used for the water of the Spirit of the Paradu, Mark Sherim, Kevan de Ishtari le Iloi, Ishtari le Kulei. If the knot on the top unravels, then everything else will ultimately again unravel with it. It must be that the tzitzis is knotted at multiple spots, so that even when there is a rip, ultimately the entire thing does not unravel. To which the Gemara says, "Tap of lametesam dalaf." Maybe not. Dilma de ikter. Maybe not. Maybe this just happens to be a case where the tzitzis was knotted, but lav dafka that it's an obligation to do so. So we'll say. So now we're going to spend a little bit of time speaking about this. How exactly you knot the tzitzis? Again, to probably do this daf justice, we'd have to spend a little bit more time. Maybe with some maybe the I see in Simon's Gemara that you have some pictures over there. That's right. Maybe we have to do some a little bit of a PowerPoint. But okay, we'll do the best we can. Va'on Rabbi Shmamina. Kesher El Yom Doraisa. Well, this is actually a very interesting halachim. Rabbi says, you see from here, that the upper knot, what we call the Kesher El Yom, is Doraisa. I will say, now when they speak about upper knot refers to the knot that is closest to the beged. So that when you go ahead and you put on the tzitzis, there is an obligation to knot the strings onto the garment, and that upper knot, that double knot on top, ultimately is Doraisa. So the Gemara says, because if you're going to think it's only Dirabanan, my itzterich lemishri sudden betzitzis, it was actually fascinating. We know that tzitzis can be made from shatnis. Right? We know that halacha, right? How do we know that? The juxtaposition between the mitzvah, the prohibition of shatnis, and the obligation of tzitzis. That juxtaposition teaches us that tzitzis can be made from shatnis. So the Gemara says, the only novelty in that is if what? Is if the strings are knotted onto the beged. Only if the woolen strings are knotted onto the linen beged. Because if the strings are not knotted onto the beged, then what? Then what? There's no shatnez. Shabbo said, let's remember something. If you take a piece of wool, and you take a piece of linen, and you press them against each other, or you take a woolen cover, and you take a linen cover, and you lie under both of them, that's not shatnez. The prohibition of shatnez is when you weave wool and linen together. So therefore, the Gemara says over here, the only time that tzitzis would pose a potential problem for shatnez would be when? Would be if the actual wool and linen are woven together. Now, they're not going to actually be woven together, but the act of double knotting them together is a kshira. It's ultimately, again, like an act of weaving them together. Because if you would think that the first knot, the double knot, is only the rabbanon, why would you ever need some type of license for a linen beged and woolen tzitzis? Pshita, it would be obvious that it wouldn't be a problem of shatnez. After all, the Gemara says, hatokev kifa achos. Ain't a chibur. Well, it's actually a very interesting halacha. The halacha is that if you go ahead and let's say you take linen thread, and you weave it once through a woolen baguette, so that is not called shatnez. Meaning, in other words, to create shatnez, there has to be a weaving process that takes place. And even the act of just putting a needle and thread once through something else is not going to create that weaving process. If that doesn't create the weaving process, certainly, again, just looping the strings through a woolen baguette will not create a shatnez process either. So therefore, what do you see from here? You see from here that the obligation to double knot the strings onto the baguette is a chiyuv d'oraisa. We'll say, why? Because that's why the Torah needs to teach me the license that even if the baguette is linen and the strings are wool, it's still okay. I only need that license if there's a bona fide attachment between the two items. There's only a bona fide attachment between the two items if there's a double knot. So from here you see that halacha lemaisa, the first double knot of the woolen strings onto the linen baguette is in fact the oraisa. Amrav im nifsakachot meikara psula. What's another interesting halacha? If the string rips at the source, the tzitzis are pasul. Now, what is this talking about? This is unlike in yesterday's daf where we saw the string was ripping from the part of the string that hangs down. This part, this case over here, is, remember, the strings are looped through the baguette. One of the strings rips at the loop. If it rips at now, what happens if you rip at the loop? So the good news, so on one hand, you think the good news is my tzitzis are still intact, right? It's still part of the braid. It's still hanging down. The problem is if you rip at the source, if you rip at the loop, the tzitzis are possible. Yosher Rav Nachman v'ka amr l'ha shmaita. So Rav Nachman will say, was going ahead and was saying over this halacha. Eisvei. So Rav Nachman was restating the halacha as just stated by Rabbi Barav Ada. So Isvei Rav Ada Rav Nachman. So Rav raised the kasha to Rav Nachman. When is this true? And Rashi says over here, when is it true? What? Deba'inan shir letzitzis. When is it true that you need a minimum measurement, a minimum length for tzitzis, like we saw about yesterday? Bitchilaso. So we'll say, so we're understanding B'tchilas, Rashi says, B'shas asiyah, aval b'sofo im nifsak la'achar zman. When do you need a minimum shir for tzitzis? When you're fashioning this tzitzis. Aval sofo, Rabbi will say, at the end. That at the end makes it sound like once the tzitzis are already made, shiyarav v'gerdumav kolshu. Then any amount of string, ultimately again, will be fit for the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Moshe says, what does this mean? My shiyarav and my gardumav. Rav said the Gemara is using two different lashonos of here. Shiyarav and gardumav. Shiyarav means leftovers. Gardumav means the stumps. What is this referring to? My love, shiyarav de'ifsik minayhu v'ishtayir minayhu. So Rav said, doesn't that mean as follows? The shirayim ultimately again refers to the idea that some of the strings themselves snapped, and there's something left over. Gardumav, the ir gardum ir gedumi. Look at Rashi. So the igardum ir ig redumi. Legamri nifsak tzada ikar. The kashlamandar nifsak achot meikar psula. So we assume shirai means part of the dangling string ripped, but there's something left over. Gardumav means the string ripped at the source, and meaning at the loop itself. And what do you see from here? The Gemara is still saying that as long as there's some type of shirayim or gardumim, the tzitzis are still kosher. This contradicts what Rav Nachman said before, because what did Rav Nachman just say? Rav Nachman said that halacha lemaisa, if the string rips at the loop, the tzitzis are possible. To which the Gemara says, lo, chadekatoni. In reality, shiyarav and gardumav are in fact one thing. Shiyarav gardumav kolshu. Say what it means to say is as follows. It's talking about halacha lemaisa, if the string of the tzitzis rips. This is not talking about if it rips at the loop. Everyone will agree that if it rips at the loop, the tzitzis will be puzzled. This is talking about the situation where it rips ultimately again on the part of the string hanging down. Coming to teach me that if some of the string is left, we talked about this yesterday, if enough of the string is left to what? To make a knot out of it, the tzitzis ultimately again will be kosher. If that's the case, Belema gardumav, shiyarav lamali, then why do I have to refer to it as both shirayim and gardumin? Why don't you just call it gardumav? Why not shirayim? Hakmashmalon, Deba'inan shiura legardumav kedei la'anvan. Comes to the teacher about say the halacha that we spoke about yesterday, which is that when the tzitzis string rips, in order for the tzitzis to still be kosher, there has to be shirayim of the gardumin. There has to be shirayim of the stump. What's the definition of shirayim at the stump, Rabosai? That there's enough of the dangling string left to make a knot. So what the Gemara is coming out with over here is two very important halachas. Number one, if the actual dangling string rips, as we spoke about this yesterday, as long as there's enough of the string left to go ahead and make a knot, the tzitzis will still be kosher. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two, if the tzitzis rips at, the string rips at the loop, the tzitzis will be pasul. So the Gemara goes vaytu. Yosef Rabba v'ka'aram b'shmei d'rav. Chut shel krach olam min aminyan. So what's the Rabba said, name of Rav? Chut shel krach. So we know it's the way tzitzis is made is you take four strings, you bend them over and they become eight. You take one of those strings, you leave it much longer, and that string is used ultimately to create the loops around the other. The string that is made to create the loops counts as part of the minyan of the number of strings. Amar li Rav Yosef, Shmuel Amar, below Rav. Rav Yosef just pointed out, by the way, this statement was said by Shmuel and not by Rav. Itmar nami Amar Barachana, Sachli Rav Yosef dimin Usha, Chut shel krach olala min aminyan. Also, we'll say, just restating the same idea, that the string that is used to create the loops around the other strings ultimately counts as part of the number of strings. Yosef Rava, Vikar Mishmei de Shmuel. Rava came along and he said over in the name of Shmuel, Tcheles shekarach rubak shera. We'll say, listen to this. We're going to now talk about the fact that tzitzis has essentially in halacha two parts. When, right, there is what we'll call the dangling part, which we'll call later on the psil, and there is the braided part, which is called the gedil. The gedil, both sides, is made up of two parts. It's made up of a series of double knots, and it's made up of a series of loops. So now comes along Rava, and Rava says the name of Shmuel, that if you braided the majority with tcheles, ultimately again the tzitzis will be kosher. Amr Rav Yosef said, Rava Amr Velo Shmuel. Rava made the statement, and actually, supposed to say, they're just trying to clarify, ultimately, again, attribution. Itmar Nami Amr Avuna Bar Yehuda Amr Av Sheshes Amr Av Yirmiya Bar Abba Amr Amr Av Tcheles Shekarach Rubak Shera. Indeed, Rav Yosef, if you went ahead and you made the majority of the braided part of the tzitzis out of Tcheles, ultimately, again, it will be kosher. Rav Chiebrei Rav Nasan Masnihachi. Rav Chiebrei Rav Nasan ultimately again stated the halacha as follows. Amrav Hura Amrav Sheishes Amrav Yermia Bar Abba Amrav Tcheles Shekarach Ruba Kshera. If again you go ahead and you make the majority of the braided part of the tzitzis out of Tcheles, the tzitzis will be kosher. Va'afilu Lo Karach Ba Elechul Ya'achos Kshera. And I will say ultimately again, even if there was only one Chulia, will say literally means a loop. A loop for Hilchos Tzitzis means a minimum actually of three loops. Even if you only had a situation where three loops were made out of white and the rest of it was made out of tcheles, the tzitzis would still be kosher. Vinoy tcheles, shlish gedil ushnei shlish araf. And I will say ultimately again, the most beautiful way to utilize tcheles in the tzitzis would be one third of the tcheles ultimately would be used, or one third of the braid is ultimately used for one third of the braid is tcheles ushnei shlishi alav, and two thirds of it is used for strings. So we'll say, by the way, what you're beginning to see, if you notice now with the emergence of tcheles, like if you ever bought tcheles, so I think today, like the most trusted manufacturer of it is this company, Petil Tcheles in Eretz Yisrael. So if you ever look on the back of the packaging, it's actually quite amazing. What they show you is all the different shitos for tying Tcheles. See, when you don't wear Tcheles, since this kind of looks the same, right? For the most part, there are still machloks in there. Once you introduce Tcheles, there's a whole machlok about how to tie tcheles ultimately into tzitzis. That's this soikis. I'm not totally doing it justice for you, but you understand that's what's unfolding over here on these pages. So I will say, so the Gemara goes weiter. Moshe says, "V'kam shir tchulya." We'll say how much ultimately. Again, is the shir chulya. We'll say means literally the link of the tzitzis. Tanya Rabbi Omer, k'deshi yichroch v'yishne v'yishlosh. Three loops. Tana. Suppose we learned another brisa. Hapoches lo yifchos misheva. We'll say when dealing with the links of the tzitzis, how many links do you make? So when you make the links, you shouldn't make less than seven. V'hamosif lo yosif al shloshes, right? And no more than 13. But so where do we get these numbers from? It's actually quite beautiful. Sapoches lo yifchos misheva. You shouldn't make less than seven. Kineged shiva rakiyim. Ultimately, again, corresponding to the seven heavens, the seven levels of rakia. V'amosif lo yosif al shloshes, right? You shouldn't make more than 13. Why? Kineged shiva rakiyim b'shisha avin b'neyen. Corresponding to the seven levels of Shamayim and the six Rikios in between those seven levels, a total of 13. I will say, remember again, what does this have to do with tzitzis? What do the number of Rakiyas have to do with tzitzis? Rashi quotes the Gemara that we're going to see later on, which is the whole point of Tcheles, as the Gemara will say, is Tcheles domel yam, yam domel Rakiya, Rakiya domel kisi hakavod. The Tcheles resembles the sea, sea resembles the heavens, heavens resemble the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire point of tzitzis is ultimately, again, to orient one's spiritual attention towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, again, there is this incredible connection between tzitzis and the rakia. So because of that, minimum number of links ultimately will be seven. Maximum number of links, 13, corresponding to the rakios. Tana, kishu maschil, maschil b'lavan. We'll say when you begin, ultimately, again, to make the loops around the tzitzis, right, to make the circles, you have to begin with white, right? Why? With the white string. The Gemara says, why? Hakanaf min kanaf. So we'll say, because ultimately, we saw this already in yesterday's daf, because when the Torah speaks about tzitzis, it begins with kanaf. Kanaf, we know already, based on, we're not going to go through it again, we know is, refers to the white corner, refers to the white strings. Ukishu misayim, misayim belovan. Ultimately, again, as Rabbi said, the way the loops work is you have white loops, blue loops, and end again with white loops. Remember, so when we see the loops, remember, I'm talking about the fact that on the braid of the tzitzis, you have double knots, and you have loops that go around the tzitzis. So the Gemara is telling me over here, you begin with white, go to blue, and then end with white. Why? Because Malin Bakodesh V'lo Moridin. Ultimately, again, I will say, we don't want to go from white just to blue and end off with blue, because remember, again, interestingly enough, as much as for us, Tcheles is the great novelty, it appears ultimately that in the strings of the tzitzis, the white strings actually occupy a higher level of importance. Why? Based on what we saw yesterday, because they're mentioned earlier in the Pasuk. The white strings are learned out from the word knaf, and psil Tcheles is only mentioned afterwards. Therefore, the white has a precedence. Rabba Rabba Rachana, Havu Yosvi. So I will say Rav and Rabba Rachana, we're sitting down together. Havaka Khalif Va'azalhu Gavra. We'll say it's actually interesting. A man walked by them, and this man had an interesting talus. When I say talus, I don't mean like a talus like we think, a cloak. He was wearing a cloak that was all treles, virami la trelta. And I will say, he had treles on his tzitzis, even though he was wearing a cloak, fully of treles. He still had strands of treles in his tzitzis, which is fine. That's not the problem. Here's the interesting part. Ugedela migdal. I will say, this guy had interesting tzitzis. All of his tzitzis were braided. Now, what does this mean? So, as we said before, under normal circumstances, so the tzitzis are made up as follows. You have the top part, which is what we call the gedil. The gedil is the braided part of the tzitzis, which consists of a series of double knots and loops. Then you have the psil, which are the loose-hanging strings. This guy was wearing, number one, a cloak that was fully made of treles, and his tzitzis were fully braided from top to bottom. It was one big gedil. In other words, he had no hanging strings. Everything was braided. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Yoy Glima, Velo Yoy Trelta. So we'll say, so Rav said, nice cloak, but I don't like the tzitzis. Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Yoy Glima, Yoy Trelta. Rabba Bar Bachana said, no, nice cloak and nice tzitzis. Great job. So we'll say, so Mike Mev, so now obviously, what are they arguing about? It's actually very interesting to the Gemara's Makimev. Rabbi Barachana, Sovr Ksiv Gdil, Uksiv Psil. So we'll say, Rabbi Bachana says the pasuk says both gedil and psil by tzitzis. Remember again, gedil refers to the braided part of the tzitzis. Psil refers to the parts of the strings which hang down. Therefore, again, the Torah is giving me an option. O gedil, o psil. But let's say you have a choice. You have a choice when it comes to tzitzis. You can make your tzitzis fully braided, gedil, or you can make your tzitzis, I'm saying, not really fully hanging, because remember, as we said before, the top kesher, the top knot of the tzitzis is d'oraisa, so it has to be at least one knot. But if you choose just to make one knot, you can make hanging strings. So I said, this is Rabbi Bachana's pshat. Gedil and psil teaches me that I could do either or. This guy happened to want to braid his tzitzis, fine, no problem. The Gemara says, the Rav Sabar, the Ola psil ba'inan. Rav says, no. Of course you have to have hanging strings. You can't have tzitzis without hanging strings. Vahi gedilim l'minyanahu da'asa. Rabbi say, that pasuk of gedil, in addition to going ahead and teaching us what? That you actually have to have some level of knotting on the tzitzis, teaches us the halacha that the number of strings. Because Rabbi say, interestingly enough, where do we know the number of strings necessary for tzitzis? So the Gemara says, Rav says, we learn that from Gedilin. Where do we learn that from? The Gemara says as follows. Gedil Shnayim. Because once again, had the pasuk just said Gedil. So Gedil means two. Because remember again, Gedil literally means like fringes. You can't have a fringe with just one. Fringes have to be at least two. Gedilim, therefore I will say the plural of Gedil means that what? It means at least what? Four. Asa Gedil upos lihu mitocho. Go ahead and make a Gedil. Upostio, I will say, and what? And literally again, postio means bend it over into two. So therefore, gedil means two, gedilim means four. Take the four ultimately again and bend them over, which gives us a series of eight strings. So we'll say, we know how lochal ma'isa we pass in this. We pass in ultimately again, like Rav in this situation. You cannot make your tzitzis all braided. We subscribe to the idea that tzitzis require both gedil and psil. There has to be a braided part, but there also has to be a free hanging strings from the tzitzis as well. Amr Shlomo Shmei Delevi. We'll say now that these are all just very interesting halachas. Amr Shlomo Shmei Delevi. Chutei Tzemer. We'll say this. We come now to a fascinating sugya. Chutei Tzemer Potrim B'Shal Pishtan. We'll say listen to this case. If you have woolen tzitzis strings, so woolen strings work for a linen beged. So we'll say again, woolen linen is shatnis. But remember again, we've already established that tzitzis are allowed to be shatnis. They give us shatnis. Where do we learn this from? From the juxtaposition of the obligation to make tzitzis right next to the prohibition, ultimately again, of shatnis. Tzitzis give us shatnis. Therefore, if you have a linen garment, woolen tzitzis are just fine. Ibailu, what about the reverse? Shal pishton maushif through b'shal tzemer. We'll say, what happens if I have a woolen beged? If I have a woolen beged, can I put linen tzitzis on that? So we'll say, so what's the shayla? Semer b'shal pishtim u'depater, keban d'tcheles patra, labanami patra. So we'll say, why do we take it for granted? So the idea of woolen tzitzis on a linen beged, we'll say, is obvious. Why? See, the Gemara always assumes, we'll say, that tcheles is always wool. Tcheles was always blue dyed wool, or wool dyed blue. Right? So therefore, again, obviously, if the tcheles is going to be wool, the remaining white strings could be wool as well, and therefore woolen strings on a linen beged will certainly be fine. But you see, then to go ahead and make the tchelis strings out of wool and the rest of the strings made out of linen for a woolen beged, maybe that doesn't work. Oh, Dilma, kevan d'chsev lo silba shatnis tzemer v'pishtim yachtov gedilim ta'aseh lecha loshna tzemer v'pishtim v'loshna pishtim v'tzemer. But see, on the other hand, what could I say? I can say, look, the juxtaposition between tzitzis and shatnis teaches me that what Rabbi was saying. There is no prohibition of shatnis when it comes to tzitzis. That's it. Done. Gamarnu. Whether it's woolen strings on a linen baguette, right? Linen strings on a woolen baguette, it doesn't make a difference. There is no mitzvah of, or there is no prohibition of shatnis when it comes to tzitzis. So these are the two sides of the coin. So which one is it? Tashma. Damarach Baba Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Chutei tzemer potrim b'shal pishtan. V'shal pishtan potrim b'shal tzemer. Ultimately, so we'll say, here, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say it quite explicitly. Woolen strings work for a linen beged. And linen strings, right? V'shal pishtan and linen strings work for a woolen beged. Chutei tzemer upishtin pochim b'chol makom. Furthermore, again, woolen strings and linen strings exempt any type of beged for tzitzis, afilu b'shiroi, even for a silk beged. So we'll say, Rav Yehuda just told us a number of things. Number one, what he told me is that halacha l'maisa, there's no prohibition of shatnez when it comes to tzitzis. So therefore, again, you could have a woolen beged with linen strings, or you could have a woolen beged with linen strings, or a linen beged with woolen strings. It doesn't make any difference. That's fine. Furthermore, the next halacha is either woolen or linen strings work on any other type of beged, even if the beged is made from silk. The Rebbe said, he just dropped a little bit of a tzitzis bomb on us, which is, he also just told us that a silken beged is chayiv in tzitzis. To which the Gemara says, "Upligad Rav Nachman." We're saying this argues on Rav Nachman because what does Rav Nachman say? Rav Nachman hashiroin piturim in atzitzis. We'll say, see, Rav Nachman is of the opinion that what that halacha lemaisa a silk beged is potter from tzitzis. So also, we're going to get into this now a little bit about whether or not essentially we'll say this is not just really machlokis about silk. What we're going to see is this really machlokis about materials other than wool and linen. Eisvei. Rava, the Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman just said that silk is potter from tzitzis. Comes along Rava, Esvei Rava, the Rav Nachman. Rava asks Hashir Rav Nachman, or asks on Rav Nachman, Hashirain v'haklach v'hasrikin kulon chayavin betzitzis. We'll say Shirain, klach, and srikin are just all different types of silk. All these different types of silk in begadim are chayiv in tzitzis. So we'll say, so that contradicts Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman just said before that what? That silk is not chayiv in tzitzis. That they're not chayiv in tzitzis. Here the Brisa is saying that what? They are chayiv in tzitzis. To which the Gemara answers, midrabanan. When the Brisa over here says that silk is chayiv in tzitzis, midrabanan it's chayiv in tzitzis, but midaraisa it's exempt. Ihachi, if that's the case, ema seifa, look at the end of this Brisa. The kulan tsemer upishtim potrin mehen. Well, in all of these cases, so wool and linen strings exempt the beged. Which is another way of saying in all of these cases, i.e. in silk, right, or in any other beged, strings of wool or linen will work to satisfy the tzitzis criteria. I amrit bishlama da'araisa. So I'll say, if you want to say that these other begadim are chayiv in tzitzis mida'araisa, hainu dimishtri bahu kilai. So we'll say, so let me get this straight. What you're telling me is, I could use wool strings, I could use linen strings, and I could even use what? Wool and linen strings together to exempt these begadim from to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, if you're going to tell me that I could use wool and linen strings together to go ahead and satisfy a tzitzis criteria, that only works if what? If the beged is obligated in tzitzis midoraisa. But if the beged is not obligated in tzitzis midoraisa, only midirabanan, like you are positing that silk is only chayv dirabanan, then how can I use a shatnez mixture to discharge the obligation of tzitzis for something that is only chayv in tzitzis midirabanan? It's illogical. Meaning the prohibition of tzitzis of shatnez should only be set aside if what? If the actual garment is obligated in tzitzis midaraisa. See amrit rabbanon heichim mishrid kilayim. To which the Gemara says, you're right, ema, ot semer opishtin. No. The Brisa did not mean to say that on silk you could put on tzitzis made of wool and linen, but rather what did it mean? It means for silk you could use strings that are made of wool or linen. Hachinami mistabra, this seems to be clear. Diktani seifa, Hain b'minan potrin, shelo b'minan ein potrin. So we'll say now, the Gemara introduces another halach. So we'll say what the Gemara is suggesting now is as follows. The Gemara is suggesting like this, that halach alamaisa, wool strings on a linen beged, linen strings on a woolen beged, everyone will say is fine. But not only that, wool strings on any other beged, or linen strings on any other beged, will also be fine. But you cannot put wool and linen strings together on any other beged. So the Gemara proves this from the Seifa. The Seifa of the Braisa says, Hein b'minan poch, shel b'minan poch. Listen to this. Silk exempts its own type, does not exempt other types. I will say, now what does that mean? what that seems to be saying about tzitzis follows an incredible halacha by Hilchos Tzitzis, which is, you can actually make tzitzis out of whatever the beged is made of, but that type of tzitzis only exempts that type of beged. So what does that mean? If I have a silk beged, I can make tzitzis out of what? Silk. But silk tzitzis will not work for a woolen beged. So in other words, so the interesting halacha of tzitzis, which by the way is very logical, because Rabbi said, where do we get that from, that you can make tzitzis ultimately from the same material of the, as the beged? Knaf. Because remember, again, tzitzis is referred to by the corner of the garment. So whatever the material of the corner, I can make tzitzis of that same material. But that type of tzitzis will only work for that type of beged. So the Gemara says, "Hein b'minan potrin, shlemin potrin." So if you have a silk beged, you can make silk tzitzis, but silk tzitzis will only work ultimately again for a silk beged. So the Gemara says, "Iamret b'shlamad rabbanan ha'demiftri b'minan." So if you want to say that ultimately again, any type of beged that is not wool or linen is only chayiv in tzitzis midrabanan. That's why midrabanan, you could go ahead and make the tzitzis from the same material as the beged. But if you want to say that begadim of another material are chayiv doraisa and tzitzis, then semer upishtim hu depater. Right? Ultimately, again, then one would require wool or linen in order to go ahead and exempt the beged. To which the Gemara says, imi shumha lo iria. The truth is, you can't really prove anything from the end of this price, and I'll tell you why. Kid Rava. Because Rava says this also. Rava says this is a very important piece of Gemara. So what does Rava say? So the Rava Ramiksib. Rava contrasts the two psukim. What do the psukim say? On one hand, the pasuk says, hakanaf. The pasuk says you should put tzitzis where? On the corner of the beged, which teaches us, min kanaf, that tzitzis are made from the same type of material as the corner of the beged. Uksiv, semer upishtim. But yet the pasuk says that what? That you make tzitzis from semer upishtim, from ultimately, again, wool or linen. So say, so which one is it? Is tzitzis made from the same type of material as the garment, or is it made from wool and linen? So we'll say, watch this, and this is a very important, this is halacha l'maisa. Hakeitzad. So I'll say, how do we work it out? Watch this. Semer upishtim, pochem beim amina ben shalom aminan. So I say, the halacha is that if you have tzitzis made of wool and linen, now again, not wool and linen together, wool or linen, that's universal tzitzis. Universal tzitzis, Rabosai, go ahead and work for any type of beged. Whatever your beged is made of, if your tzitzis are wool or if your tzitzis are linen, halacha lemaisa, again, you're good. You're good. Sharminin, Rabosai, other types of materials, b'minan potrin, shelo b'minan ein potrin. Ultimately, again, Rabosai, other materials, so they will work with, so what does it mean, other materials? If I want to make my tzitzis of other materials, that's fine, as long as what? The tzitzis are made from the same material as the actual beged. So wool tzitzis or linen tzitzis will be the universal tzitzis that will work for any type of beged. If you want to make tzitzis of another material, you have the license to do so, as long as it's the same exact material as the beged. So you want to make silken tzitzis, you want to, it's a niche market, right? You want to make, we want to make silken tzitzis, that's fine, but it has to go on a silken beged. To use it anywhere else, ultimately, again, will not work. For Rav Nachman, we'll say, Rav Nachman, on the other hand, will tell you as follows. So we'll say, so Rav Nachman will say, Ki d'tana d'vi Rav Yishmol, t'tana d'vi Rav Yishmol, ho v'nem v'begadim b'tor estam, u'parat l'cha akasov v'achmen tzemer v'pishtim, af kol tzemer v'pishtim. So we'll say, Rav Nachman has a different approach. Rav Nachman holds that, no, tzitzis always has to be, ultimately, tzemer v'pishtim. It always has to be either wool or linen. Why? Because Rav Nachman will say, since the Torah uses the word begadim in an unqualified way, and it mentions in one place by kilayim semer upishtim, it teaches me that what? That wherever there is a mention of beged, ultimately, again, it's always semer upishtim. So we'll say fundamental machlokis Rava and Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says tzitzis always has to be semer upishtim. Rava says no, semer upishtim, wool tzitzis or linen tzitzis are the universal tzitzis, but halacha lemaisa, but any, you can use any type of material as long as it matches the beged. Rav Nachman says no, all you could use are wool and linen tzitzis. So I'll say, so I'll just end with this because we are out of time. But I'll just tell you, we'll do more halacha tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, during the daf. But I'll just tell you one important halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So this is in Simon Tes Sif Aleph. Ein chayev betzitzis min haTorah. So we'll say, so first of all, we possibly have to come over here. Mid d'oraisa, the only type of beged which is chayev in tzitzis is beged pishtim o shelt semer. Is either ultimately, again, a wool or a linen garment. A wool or linen garment. Aval shar begadim, aval shar big day, excuse me, aval big day shar minim, ein chayavin betzitzis, ultimately, again, I was saying, but other begadim are not chayav in tzitzis medraban. Now, the Rama quotes from the Rush, from Tosfos, from the Smag, and from the Mordechai, who say that no, a beged of any four cornered beged ultimately is chayav in tzitzis medoraisa. So, we'll say machlokis mechaber in the Rama. So, we Ashkenazim paskin like the Rama, and that's why I will say if you want to wear cotton tzitzis. Right, ultimately, again, those tzitzis are still chayiv, that beged is still chayiv in tzitzis midoraisa. So he passed on like the Ramah, that any type of four-cornered garment ultimately will be chayiv in tzitzis. What about the second part? Tzitzis shal pishtim o shal rechelim pochim b'chol mine begadim, chutz mi shal pishtim l'tzemer o shal tzemer. Well, I can't rush this. Well, Mirat Hashem, we will continue with this halacha tomorrow. Shkoyach.
To take your forum, we're going to be setting up for the